Your morning look at the world of agriculture starts now. Here's Farm Director Travis Cleveland.
So compared to 2020, the USDA doubled the number of acres in the CRP grassland signup, and they enrolled 2.5 million acres. So Gloria Montano Green, who is the USDA Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, she was talking about this, and she said the grassland acres helped the total CRP signup to bypass 5 million acres.
We did a huge announcement today announcing more than 2.5 million acres of Grasslands Conservation Reserve Program, really targeted to preserve and to be able to add support for conservation programs, bringing the total CRP sign up to more than 5.3 million acres in 2021. So we did a lot of work to be able to incentivize and to increase the enrollment, to be able to share the value it has to producers and the value it has for climate change mitigation. The announcement today really shows the fruits of that labor and how we're able to increase the sign up.
So they got over 5 million acres signed up. And the reason that's even a thing and the reason we're even talking about it is because the whole goal for the USDA was to sign up 4 million acres. So they definitely went way over their goal. Now, Montano Green was talking about what really changed here. The big question is, why were there so many more people that said, hey, maybe this year for 2021, I'm going to sign up for this? Because then why didn't they do that last year? It doesn't make sense.
I attribute it to a few things. I think it's the incentives that were offered to be able to restructure, the education and outreach that was done to understand the value it has, to be able to show that this is something that is good for agriculture as well as good for conservation. And so it was really robust education and outreach and targeting in really key communities, and then also just the incentives that we provided.
And I think part of it really is that maybe more people are starting to think, okay, we kind of have to start worrying about the climate and helping out the environment. And if you look at a lot of these farms, they help out the environment a lot. They're very environmentally conscious. And I don't know, you know, some people say, oh, these bigger farms they're bad for the environment and all that. But, you know, really, if you go there, you talk to these farmers and you see what programs they have in place, they're the ones with these big environmentally friendly programs. So I think that's pretty cool. Now, she said that just setting aside these acres, obviously, it is really good for the environment.
To be able to help the grassland area, we'll be sequestering an incredible amount of carbon. We'll also be thinking about what we're doing for wildlife habitat and grazing opportunities to be able to move forward. We had a significant amount of acres that were enrolled in the Dust Bowl corridor, right, in the Yellowstone Elk Migratory Corridor. So I think when you're looking at environmental and conservation benefits, to be thinking about both wildlife and carbon.
She also said that the USDA got some expanded signups from new locations, but the majority of the expansion did come from areas that traditionally do well in CRP.
We did have a significant increase, at least specifically in the targeted areas that we were moving forward for the ecosystem. But we also had some expansions I don't think I shared with you, but I'm an Arizonan. I'll be making my way to D.C. eventually. But for example, Arizona had an increase of it. So I think we also did see an increase in spread of other states that were enrolling. But we also saw some traditional strength and growth in the states where we've always had a great CRP enrollment, like in Colorado, South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, and New Mexico.
Once again, hearing from Gloria Montano Green, who's the Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation with the USDA.
With more on what's happening on the ag scene, here's Farm Director Travis Cleveland.
So over the past 7 months, there's been new lawsuits filed almost every single day claiming that farmers that were exposed to paraquat, it's a very toxic herbicide, they contracted Parkinson's. So paraquat was developed by Syngenta Ag, and it's sold in the United States by Chevron Corporation. I found it pretty interesting that this is happening right now because I remember, maybe even just a couple months ago, we were still talking about Roundup and Bayer Ag, their whole situation, because they said that they set aside as much as $16 billion to resolve all their cases. And they're prepared that $16 billion is also set aside to prepare for future cases, future suits tied to Roundup and causing cancer in people. Now, Syngenta, on the other hand, they've already started settling. So the company disclosed this whole situation in August. They said that on June 1st, they agreed to pay $187.5 million to resolve cases, but it was an undisclosed number of cases. They weren't saying. They said that it's solely for the purpose of bringing to an end these claims. That's what they were talking about. So, just a little background on paraquat. So, it's been used for crops in the U.S. for a very long time, since the 1960s. But the thing is, It's also been banned in over 30 different countries across the world. So I don't understand why we still use it, but I mean, I don't know the science behind it. Now, the one reason that it's been banned in over 30 countries is because of alleged ties to Parkinson's. So at the start of 2021, there was only a handful of lawsuits, not too many, but they were making their way through the courts in the U.S. Now, since February, there's been more than 400 new complaints filed, and it's still growing. I mean, they said that if you look at it, there's thousands more possible. There could be way, way, way too many of these claims. So attorney Michael Miller, who sued Chevron and Syngenta, he said that if we're being completely real and honest, they might have almost 35,000 cases coming at them. Not what you want to deal with. Now, the companies, they've disputed the claims, obviously. They said that there's no credible evidence Paraquat, which has been widely used for more than 55 years, causes Parkinson's disease. I don't understand why these other countries would ban it if there was no tie at all. But, you know, again, I'm not a scientist. So a spokesperson for Chevron said, "We'll vigorously defend against the allegations." Now, the number of Paraquat lawsuits isn't really likely to be anywhere near the claims that they had for Bayer and Roundup. That was like out of the park crazy how many claims there were. But still, there's going to be a lot of them. Paraquat also has been used in the war on drugs. So listen to this. From about 1975 to 1978, the U.S. tried to reduce the flow of marijuana from Mexico. And one of the things that they decided to do is the U.S. spent about $30 million a year to help Mexico spray Paraquat on the illegal drugs, on marijuana plants. That's according to the American Journal of Public Health. Then a few years later, fast forwarding a little bit, the government agencies, they proposed spraying Paraquat on pot farms in California and also in Florida. So then they brought it to the United States. So these lawsuits were assigned to U.S. District Judge Nancy Rosenstengel. So she's located in East St. Louis, Illinois. The reason they decided to give them to somebody in Illinois was because farmers in Illinois, they're actually one of the biggest Paraquat users. She's already had about 20 cases on her desk, and the first trial for one of those cases is set for late next year. It's going to be a while, but still, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Now, the suits are also being filed in state courts, including California and in Illinois.
With more on what's happening on the ag scene, here's Farm Director Travis Cleven.
So the Wisconsin Farm Bureau just announced the finalist for their Excellence in Ag Award. It just recognizes the Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturist program. So it looks at their involvement in agriculture, how good are like leadership skills they have, other civic things that they do, community stuff, and what they do for the organization, all of it. Now, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation President Kevin Krenz, he was talking about it, and he said, "This contest highlights these individuals and how they've positively impacted Wisconsin agriculture and Farm Bureau and inspire others to do the same." So congratulations to Stephanie Apps of Manitowoc County, Julie Sweeney of Dodge County, Julie Wodzinski of Barron County, and Kelly Zahn from Shawano County. So a few of them were also named finalists last year. Now, they're going to make a presentation, and then they have to answer a bunch of questions in front of three judges, and then they'll figure out, all right, who is the winner? Who's the state winner? Now, the state winner will then go on to the national competition, and that's during the American Farm Bureau Federation's 2022 annual meeting that happens in January. Then the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking hunters to help out when it comes to monitoring chronic wasting disease, or CWD, specifically when it comes to the northeast part of the state. That would be us. Because they said they started kind of checking out and monitoring CWD back in 2018, but now they're looking, they really want it checked in the Northeast. It's Brown County, Calumet, Door, Green Lake, Fond du Lac, Kewaunee, Manitowoc, Marinette, Okano, Outagamie, Waupaca, Waushara, and then also Winnebago. They said that we just want hunters in the Northeast to hopefully get their adult deer tested this season. And each test result then helps the DNR to better understand CWD and how it spreads, all of that. So there's going to be some self-service kiosks. They said there's also going to be some CWD testing sites at meat processors, taxidermists, or you can set up an appointment with a DNR official. And speaking of hunting, I'm not sure if you've ever considered being a hunting mentor, but you can sign up for that. So anybody can get a mentored-only hunting license. You don't even have to do the hunter safety course. But in order to do that, you have to be with a licensed hunter. I mean, it just makes sense. And you have to hunt within arm's reach. So it's a lot better for the youth, I don't know if everybody wants to hunt right next to their buddy or anything, but, you know, whatever. It just gives first-time hunters a chance to try hunting and then figure out if they really like it or not. You can get all the details for being a mentor on the Wisconsin DNR website. But you can mentor also during the youth hunt, like I was saying, for kids. That's going to be October 9th and 10th. So hunters 15 years of age and under, with or without hunter safety, can be a part of this hunt. Next up, nominations have been submitted for the 2021 Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest, and some of them are part of agriculture. This is all thanks to the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Johnson Financial Group. They're the ones holding the competition for the fifth year in a row. So some of the things on there is chicken fillets, summer sausage, and there's a bunch more that are tied to agriculture. You can vote online through September 21st, and there's 150 different products from Wisconsin on there, which I was kind of surprised about. I'm your farm director, Travis Cleven. Hey, keep up to date with everything agriculture related on the Wisco Egg Facebook page, because next week I will be putting out a video from the county fairs. So what we did all summer is we talked to, there might have been 7 or 8 different counties, and we picked a family from a 4-H club, and then we went out to their farm and just talked to them about their projects, what animals they were showing, you know, what they loved about the fair, what they didn't, just the tough parts, everything. So people realized how much work it is to be a part of the fair. And that video will be coming next week. So I'll be posting that on the Wisco Egg Facebook page. I think there's about 14 kids a part of that. That's an update for you.